Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the History Behind the Hymns podcast. This is episode number 17. I am your host, Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. I am one of many Christians who still loves the old hymns of the faith even more than many modern Christian songs. Sometimes you try to listen to a Christian song today, one of the modern songs, and you don't know if they're singing to Jesus or singing to a boyfriend or girlfriend. It's not clear. But the hymns are clear. For the past 33 years, my wife and I and all of our children and I have sung the old hymns of the faith during our family devotional time each morning or each day. And I've been doing it for 40 years, over 40 years now, in my personal devotional time. Down through the years before I got married. I am your host, Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, which I've already said that, but anyway. Over the years, we have used an independent Baptist hymn book, a National Baptist hymn book, and a Southern Baptist hymn book. The Independent Baptist hymn book was red. The National Baptist hymn book was maroon with black little indentations. And the Southern Baptist hymn book was white. And I remember that so clearly. And we still have those hymn books somewhere. We have been using the internet for a long time now to sing the hymns of the faith with music. When we started out so long ago, we just sung the hymns a cappella, and it was sad. But we made a joyful noise to the Lord, but nobody in our family can sing, unfortunately. And we have sung the old hymns of the faith with traditional Methodist churches online, some of the ancient hymns. The old hymns of the faith have been a tremendous source of blessing and encouragement to my heart and to my life down through the years. I remember many years ago when I was a student right out of the Air Force. I was in my first Bible college, Baptist University of America in Atlanta. And I heard certain hymns while I was there. One hymn that struck me one day that was a blessing to me, and I started singing even when I had to ride the bus to my job because I had to work my way through college. Was a beautiful hymn, "It Is Well." And then, and man, I tell you, that really blessed my heart, and it stayed with me for a long time. And then God introduced me to a hymn, and these are hymns that blessed my heart for weeks and months, and I would sing them every day almost, and remember their words. But here's another hymn that God really used in those days when you're single and you really don't see how everything is going to work out, and you're struggling to get through college and so forth. Another one is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. I think this is the first hymn that brought tears to my eyes one day. I had gone to what is called the Passion Play, put on by First Baptist Church, Charles Stanley, at the Civic Center. I don't know if they still do it or not now. But I went there, and when in the play Jesus was dying on the cross, that song came up. I had never heard it before. It broke my heart. And I believe that's the first hymn that I shed some tears over. And it stuck with me and became one of my favorite hymns. And these hymns, along with the Word of God, got me through some tough times in life. That's a long time ago. That's approaching almost 40 years ago. But I thought I'll share that with you. Dear friends, the purpose of this podcast is to encourage you to dust off your old hymn book, so to speak, and experience the power and blessing of well-written hymns based upon sound doctrine for the glory of God that will strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. When I'm on my deathbed, I want somebody to play for me When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and it is well with my soul, along with Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. I think I'll be all right if I can hear those songs and hear the Word of God read to me. What a blessing. What a blessing. Anyway, the history behind the hymns quote for today is from Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, "The gift of language combined with the gift of song was given to man that he should proclaim the Word of God through music." The quote in connection to today's hymn is from Aidan Wilson Tozer. He said, "It is time for us to seek again the leadership of the Holy Spirit, man's lordship has cost us too much." Our hymn for today is Spirit of the Living God by Daniel Iverson. Another hymn that has blessed my heart and that I have tried to sing sometimes right before preaching. And if I could sing these songs, I would sing them. But I want you to focus on the words, and so I will read them to you. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Make me, melt me, mold me, feel me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Make me, melt me, mold me, feel me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Now, beloved, here is the history behind the hymn, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me, according to UMC Discipleship.org. This is one of the most long-lasting and widely used choruses in Christian worship. Every aspect of the song embodies a simple sincerity. The melody encompasses only five notes, with every pitch in its place. The harmonies can be played by a very modestly skilled pianist, and three of the four lines repeat the same nine words. Yet for many, the straightforward petitions of this song draw the singer into an attitude of prayer. Oh yes, it does. The late hymnologist William J. Reynolds provided background on the song's creation. During January and February of 1926, the George T. Stephens Evangelistic Party conducted a citywide revival in the Tabernacle in Orlando, Florida. Daniel Iverson, a Presbyterian minister from Lumberton, North Carolina, spent several days in Orlando visiting with the Stephens team. The day he arrived, he was greatly impressed by a message on the Holy Spirit given by Dr. Barron, a physician from Columbia, South Carolina. Later that day, Iverson went to the First Presbyterian Church in Orlando, sat down at the piano, and wrote this song. Miss Birdie Lowe's, the pianist, for the Stephens team, wrote it out on manuscript paper. E. Powell Lee, the team's song leader, was immediately impressed and taught it to the people that evening in the Tabernacle and used it throughout the campaign. Daniel Iverson, 1890 to 1977, was a native of Brunswick, Georgia. He received his education at the University of Georgia in Athens, the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia, and the University of South Carolina. As a Presbyterian minister, Iverson served churches in Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. In 1927, he organized the Shenandoah Presbyterian Church in Miami, Florida, remaining with this congregation until his retirement in 1951. While the inspiration for the hymn is not known for certain, it is likely that Iverson knew a hymn by Adelaide Pollard, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," based on Jeremiah 18:6, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." The first stanza of Pollard's hymn uses similar language. Mold me, melt me, make me, etc. The final stanza also contains a petition to the Spirit. Fill with thy Spirit. Pollard's hymn was written about 25 years before Iverson's 1926 composition. Both use a similar musical idiom. The Reverend Carlton Young, editor of the UM Hymnal, notes that the authorship of Spirit of the Living God was lost for a time because the song could so easily be taught without music or even printed words. It first appeared in Revival Songs in a slightly revised version that was published without the author's permission, according to Dr. Young. Southern Baptist gospel song composer B.B. McKinney made slight alterations and published it again in his Songs of Victory. The altered version was solidified when it was published in the Baptist hymnal without the composer's name. E. Powell Lee, the song leader for the Stevens evangelistic team, brought Iverson's name to light, and his name was restored to the song in later printings of the Baptist hymnal in the 1960s. In a 2007 blog post, retired Presbyterian pastor John McCrea described his childhood in Iverson's congregation. I was there then, age 4, with my family. We lived a block from the church's first building, an old rustic dance hall. Daniel's young son, Bill Iverson, recently called together many old-timers to celebrate the 80th anniversary of the church, now occupied by a Hispanic congregation dedicated to carrying on the same message of Christ and mission. Undoubtedly, the Spanish language translation of Iverson's hymn lives on in this congregation. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our next episode, we will look at the history behind the hymn, His Eye is on the Sparrow, by Sevilla Martin. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for this time together, remembering this old hymn of the faith that has been a blessing to so many millions and that has invited the Holy Spirit of God into so many services and lives. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, this hymn honors God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to get to know him today and trust him as your Savior, here is how. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. You have broken God's commandments, his Ten Commandments, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have lied before. We have stolen things before. We have taken God's name in vain before. All of us have sinned against God. You have and I have. We're all guilty before God and we deserve hell. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. For the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else. You have already done enough. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states very plainly in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, beloved, hell is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. If you're ready to trust Christ as Savior and pray that prayer called the sinner's prayer and be saved today, please follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after and coveted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, thank you for listening to the history behind the hymns. May God bless you and keep you until we meet again.